Emily Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today on The Larry Mueller Show. And our next guest is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And we're looking at the electric vehicle infrastructure across Wisconsin, which continues to grow. With gas prices up over $1 a gallon in the last month, according to AAA, from the NPR News at the top of the hour, we heard they're approaching $4 a gallon nationwide. There is this idea that maybe EVs would be the answer going forward, but as I saw in a story the other day, that people would be more willing to buy EVs if they were more confident that their vehicles wouldn't run out of power before finding a charging station. It's called range anxiety, and Wisconsin looks to be tackling that question. And Secretary Boardman, thank you so much for joining the Larry Mueller Show this afternoon.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what the Department of Transportation is doing in terms of alleviating range anxiety for EV drivers across Wisconsin.
I get it. It's real. I personally have driven an electric vehicle since 2018, so I understand the concerns. Wisconsin was apportioned about $78 million in 2021 under a federal act that provided us some funding to help kind of, you know, jumpstart this effort to get more charging stations out there. It's called the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure, or the NEVI program. So we have been working since we received those funds. We put together a plan on how we wanted to distribute this. We identified what is known as the alternative fuel corridor. So we're targeting basically that interstate system and identifying the areas so that someone can always be within 50 miles of a high quality charger that is really the faster ones that you're used to using. So we've already committed about $38 million of that funding. We have 78 projects that are slated to be opening. We have 16 that are operational now and another 5 that are opening next week.
So what does that mean for alleviating range anxiety then? Are EV drivers able yet to get around the state without having to worry about running out of electricity?
I will say you can't wing it. You need to plan ahead. You do need to plan ahead, but I think you can get everywhere through the state. So really the target of our first round of applications was, again, building out that corridor. There are many in the far northern areas of the state,
sure,
which really needed this infrastructure. So, I mean, we're up there in Cameron and Ashland, Chippewa Falls, Menominee. So we are really all over the state, targeting those areas that didn't have any. There's some attributes that we want from that. Again, easy to get to from that alternative corridor. We want, you know, pull through parking spots. You don't always have to do a backing maneuver to get into there. It needs to be a safe, clean area. They have to have expanded business hours so that you can, you know, run in and get something to drink or whatever while you're waiting for your car to charge. And it's really, I think, an opportunity to boost additional economic development in these areas where people are going to be charging their vehicles.
If you have questions for our guest, Secretary Boardman, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, talk@WPR.org. And Secretary Boardman, when did you first join the Department of Transportation? It was about 20 years ago now?
Yes, I came to the department in 2005. Wow. Yes.
So what have you seen over your time there? And you've just been the secretary here for the last couple of years, as I understand it. And how have you seen the role of the DOT change and how our transportation needs have changed in that time?
Well, it's been a significant journey since 2005, and most of my time at the department has been in the Division of Motor Vehicles, and so we are very used to registering vehicles, seeing what different types of vehicles people are buying, noticing those trends. We are definitely seeing the registered electric vehicles in Wisconsin increasing. It is by no means the majority. It still is a small portion of the overall fleet out there, but it's been more than doubling in the last 3 years. So we have about 40,000 that are registered in the state. So seeing those changes, there has been changes on how you register that so that there's parity and paying for the transportation system. EV vehicle owners do pay an additional fee when they register, an additional $175. So as the industry is changing, you're seeing buying habits change, people are doing different things, and we want to make sure that we're able to respond and have the infrastructure to support people no matter what type of mobility options they're looking for.
And just from my perspective, it would seem that the price of a gallon of gas would have to some degree an impact on the trends of electric vehicles in Wisconsin, and right now that would seem to be trending upward.
Yes, the gas is definitely becoming more expensive, and that's a very fluctuating market.
Yeah.
It's kind of a chicken and an egg scenario. People want the chargers there to feel safe, and you know, to make that investment, you want to know that people are going to buy those vehicles as well. But it's not just Wisconsin drivers. It's people. We have a significant amount of tourism in Wisconsin. We want people coming from other states to know that we too are committed to providing safe charging alternatives for them. So you do see a lot of out-of-state electric vehicles in Wisconsin as well.
Oh, that's a great, I hadn't thought about that. I think about us here in Wisconsin, but our tourism industry to some degree would have to increasingly rely to some degree on an EV infrastructure.
Absolutely. So people do need to kind of look ahead, and there's many programs out there that you can map your journey, and it kind of plots out where would be the logical places for you to charge based on what type of charger that you're looking for, fast charger, the type of ports available, which are becoming more standard now. So people do that work in advance. There's also kind of, there's the fast charging for people on the go. There's destination base charging. It's a little bit slower charge, but you're parking there overnight, so it's not a big deal. So making sure that we're expanding everything so that people have those choices.
Does our Department of Transportation keep an updated map of those charging stations?
Of course we do. We do. So people just need to head to the DOT website. We do have a dashboard out there. You can see the whole map of Wisconsin. You can see which ones are operational. You can see which ones are planned. So it's all out. And those are the ones that we have funded. There's other, you know, apps out there that you can get on your phone that are looking at all of the vendors, maybe not ones that we have facilitated through this program, but there's a lot of other chargers that are available as well.
So Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Christina Boardman, our guest, and we'll go to your questions now at 1-800-642-1234. We'll start with Maria in Washington Island. Maria, good afternoon.
Hi, this is a wonderful program. We actually live year-round in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, you know, a big tourist area, and I also serve on a local school board, and we have put in 5 chargers for electric cars in our school parking lot that anybody has access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I just wanted to share, and they're always in use. They're always in use, so that's nice to see. So I just wanted to share that with you.
I very much appreciate that. And for anybody traveling to Lake Geneva in an electric vehicle, I'm sure they would be equally pleased to hear that. Christina, does the Wisconsin DOT keep up with private chargers and chargers that they don't install? Do you have an estimate on how many we have overall across Wisconsin?
I do not know that number. For our website, we're just kind of keeping track of what our funds have gone towards in installing those in Wisconsin on that alternative fuel corridor. But, you know, Tesla has a number of their own chargers out there, which are not just for Tesla owners anymore. Those are open for other people to use as well. And then, you know, a lot of communities, schools, like we just heard from the caller, they are making that investment themselves because they want to have those options available.
I've seen a lot in retail outlets as a way to get people back into bricks and mortar stores.
Yes, you see them at malls. You are seeing them at airports. So again, really understanding how people are moving around and where those are most needed.
Let's go to Mark in Wisconsin Dells next. Mark, good afternoon. You're on the air with Secretary Boardman.
Yes, thank you. I've always wondered, I hear so much about EVs on the radio shows and so forth, but I don't hear anybody talking about hybrids. I bought a hybrid a few years ago when gas was approaching $4 a gallon, and in 2 years, my gas savings went from 25 miles to the gallon to 50 miles to the gallon. I do 100,000 miles a year. It paid for the car. So I got a new car, and I couldn't do an EV because of the range problem. And then the other thing I'd like to say is that we don't talk too much about how much range we lose in cold weather. Huh. And you lose about 40%. You lose a lot of range in cold weather because the battery has to be used to keep the car warm. And even in a hybrid, the engine has to run more often to keep itself warm. It's not the battery getting cold. It's the engine has to stay warm. So there are just some technical things there that really cut into the range of both hybrids and EVs in cold weather.
Especially in Wisconsin. And Secretary Boardman, I imagine you personally would have experience with that with your EV.
Yes. Yeah, you can definitely tell a difference in the cold weather. And we had a rather cold winter, and you are going to have to charge more often. Another thing that happens sometimes in the vehicles, the warmer the battery is, the more it can absorb that electricity when you charge. So there are many features on these cars. You say that you're going to be stopping at a charger. It performs a warming for that battery so that when you get there, it can be as efficient of a stop as possible. So warming that battery too. Get that charge as fast as possible. But yeah, there's a lot of hybrids in Wisconsin, definitely very, very popular. And they too pay a little bit extra because mm-hmm. they are getting that savings at $75 extra with their registration. But I think, you know, most people are very comfortable with that, knowing the savings and the additional efficiency that they're getting with that vehicle.
And there's an environmental aspect to this as well when it comes to burning fossil fuels per mile. Our guest, Christina Boardman, is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. We're looking at Wisconsin's EV infrastructure as it continues to grow around the state and taking your questions and comments as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send us an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. Before we return to Secretary Boardman from our Department of Transportation, I want to remind you that Larry Mueller is about ready to go on spring tour with appearances in Wausau April 1st, Eau Claire April 21st, Green Bay May 12th, and in Madison on June 3rd. You can get the full list of events at WPR.org/presents, and if you'd like to attend, Larry invites you to join him at any of these events upcoming, but we'd also like you to register. It is free, but you can secure your seats by registering today at WPR.org/presents, and Larry cannot wait to see you there. Again, his retirement date is set for July 1st, and we're all going to miss him, but you all have a chance to see him one more time before. And that also, we're going to Bayfield and Bloom here, so looking forward to that as well. And you'll also find that at WPR.org/presents. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and let's return to our conversation with Wisconsin Department of Transportation Secretary Christina Boardman. Will go to Wendell in Marinette next. Wendell, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'd like to ask the Secretary, she talked just a little bit about passenger rail projects in Wisconsin. We're particularly interested in northeastern Wisconsin in getting Amtrak up from Milwaukee to Green Bay. There's a lot of interest even beyond that into the UP, but this is an extension of the Amtrak that's just waiting to happen, and we're hoping that Wisconsin is working hard for it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Wendell. Secretary Boardman, do we have any updates?
We do have some updates. Ooh. We did get federal funding for passenger rail studies in Wisconsin, one of which is kind of extending that Hiawatha route that is Chicago to Milwaukee, bringing that all the way up to Green Bay. So we have, it's a kind of a multi-step process. We've completed step one of that analysis. We're doing some additional work on that, but we have a number of routes that we're looking at in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it isn't a lightning fast process, but there is a lot of planning. That's going into this. You need to look at the track condition, what features are available, where those stations are going to be. But the one going up to Green Bay is very much remains in effect, and we are continuing our way through the study. Also studying it to get to Madison as well, continuing the Borealis route, which takes all the way up to the Twin Cities, and getting a stop in Eau Claire. So there's a number of efforts underway, and we recognize that people are looking for transportation alternatives, and passenger rail is one that has proved very successful.
Hey, Secretary Boardman, thank you for answering that. Wendell, I'm glad you asked, and it sounds like an exciting update, and I'd be remiss if I did not add that WPR does have a podcast that you can hear anytime about the high-speed rail proposal that was once set to be built between Madison and Milwaukee, and you can find that online at wpr.org/derailed, and it is a fascinating story. We'll go to Chris and Spooner next. Chris, good afternoon. You're on the air with Secretary Boardman.
Well, thank you. I just had a couple comments. My husband and I have owned two electric vehicles. One we bought, a Chevy Bolt, if I can mention the brand, in 2018. We were happy with. We wanted a little bigger range. And so we bought a Tesla, which we're very happy with the car itself. And we've driven the Tesla out, all the way out to Washington State.
Whoa.
Kind of an experiment. it was the charging was extremely easy. The Tesla is very helpful at letting you know where the charging is. And it was not a problem at all. Driving out and back, that was fine. The charging is getting easier and easier to find locations. But I also wanted to mention, people might wonder, well, how do you pay for that? And a lot of people think, well, gee, you just plug in and you're free to go. Well, it's on our regular charge card. Every time we plug in, it shows up almost immediately. We get a notice on my credit card, and it's very easy, and it just, is very painless.
Chris, if I can ask, how much does a charge run, generally speaking?
Okay, we travel quite often between Spooner and Milwaukee to visit family, and we charge at Toma. It's usually that would be about halfway. Toma's a great charging area. There's multiple charges. It might be I'm really bad at remembering. Could be between $12, $15, $18, $11. For getting a full charge, which would be when we're traveling a distance, we have it set for 100% charge.
Sure.
It's a learning situation, but the difference between the winter, which was a very cold winter, we went to Milwaukee many times. It's just a matter of stopping one more time for a charge. That's what it is. So we do pay a little more,
sure.
But instead of charging one time, we stop twice and don't even bother to get a full charge.
Well, $12 or $15 right now sounds like a real deal considering what people are paying at the pump, Secretary Boardman.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that story. The interfaces for these vehicles has gotten a lot easier. For many of them, there is an infotainment center in there. You plug in where you're going. It identifies where the most efficient places for you to charge.
Uh-huh.
If you're on the Tesla network, yes, you just plug it in. It knows the IP address of your phone. Your credit card is on file, and there you go. But there are these other public ones where you may just tap your card, et cetera, and then you can charge very easily. We did, just wanted to mention, we did need to have a law change in starting this program because there were some requirements on how this was funded. You needed to charge by kilowatt hour, meaning you're charging for the actual energy that's being shared. And usually energy is sold by electric companies, and this was going to be a different process in having these chargers out there. So there was a program to change that, selling it by the kilowatt hour by entities that are not considered utilities. There is a minor 3 cent per kilowatt hour that is on there that does go to the transportation fund in Wisconsin. But yeah, there's a lot of changes to do this, but I appreciate hearing. I have stopped in Toma. They do have some good charging facilities there. And yeah, it just becomes kind of part of your journey. You figure out which ones you like better, which ones have the good coffee shops cater to your journey accordingly.
Secretary Boardman, you'd mentioned that not all chargers are the same, and I am unfamiliar with these chargers. So tell us a little bit about, how they are different and how they are evolving.
So she mentioned she had a Bolt in 2018. Mm-hmm. So, and there have now been changing. So it's on sort of this, there's a universal, And it is pretty much what Tesla has had the entire time. So it's a little bit of a smaller plug, but there were some that had these larger plugs. Many people with EVs will have converters in their car, just a little, you know,
adapter
kind of like
thing
when you're charging. Yeah, yep. Kind of like when you're charging your phone, you know which tabs you have. So you just plug a different adapter onto the end of the charger and it will fit accordingly in your car. So there's a couple, but over time you are seeing everything kind of convert over to the standard one. That is what Tesla has had all along. And those are requirements for the ones that we have going forward. So we want to make sure that the ones that we're putting public funding towards, you're going to be able to charge the majority of all people there.
So we got a ballpark range of cost from Chris and Spooner, but what's the ballpark and how much time it takes to charge? Or could that vary greatly depending on whether you're staying overnight or just stopping at a station?
It does vary. I mean, if you are on the road, like the caller going from Spooner to Milwaukee, you're not wanting to spend the night partway. So you are going to go to these level three fast chargers. And so those are the ones you want to have your battery a little bit warmer. It's absorbing energy at a much higher rate. If you're having to get a full charge, like she said, it could be $15, it could be $25. It also, depending on the weather, it may change how long it takes to get that full charge. It could be 20 minutes. But sometimes you know you're going to stop somewhere else where they also have a charger. And so you may just kind of want to top it off to get you to this location, knowing you're going to stop and can plug it in overnight. So those types of choices are things that you need to think about just to make it most efficient for that driver.
I saw a news story, and maybe you can help clarify that there are attempts to make these EV chargers 100% U.S. made, which as of now, as from what I read, none of them are 100% U.S. made, in order to get this congressionally approved funding for the EV infrastructure. What do we know about what the federal DOT or the EPA has to say about the funding for this NEVI program going forward, Secretary Boardman?
Yes, great question. There is a proposed rule change that has been put out there to not allow waivers for the Buy America for these charging stations. And we do have some concerns on how we will be able to continue to complete that network that we're working on, expend the rest of our funds if it is 100% American, because America just does not have the infrastructure right now to supply everything that's needed for those charging centers. So even though we've made these awards out there, sometimes there's a waiting list to get the equipment needed. You need to work with your utilities to get upgraded there. But we are keeping a very close eye on that rule. Obviously, we absolutely support Buy America, but there are some commodities that are not yet available to Buy in America. And so we need to maintain some flexibility so that we can continue to do what we're doing.
But after a quarter century in our Department of Transportation, Secretary Boardman, do you see this as an investment in the future? Is this a savvy expenditure from the federal funds that have been approved by Congress?
I do. Wisconsin, like I said, we received about $78 million. Mm-hmm. We were a little slow to expend that because we did need that law change to charge by the kilowatt hour. That was something that we did not have. So that we got a little bit of a late start. But now that we have made these awards, we are really actually further ahead than many other states. Some states had lost their funding because they had not been moving and did not obligate enough. We were one of 22 states that did not lose any of the NEVI funding from the federal spending bill that was passed earlier this year. So we feel very fortunate in that. And so we want to make sure that we are doing the very best to get these where they are most needed so that people have flexibility, they have options. And again, it's up to the user whether what type of vehicle they're purchasing, what type of modes they're using for their transportation, but we want to make sure that Wisconsin is set up to meet whatever those needs are.
Hey, Secretary Boardman, thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope we have this opportunity again on the Larry Mueller Show.
Absolutely. Have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you. Christina Boardman is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, our secretary there. Also want to give you an update. We do not yet have our Garden Talk Live broadcast from Bayfield and Bloom on the website yet, so I wanted to give it a shout-out. It's coming up May 29th. It's all part of the Larry Mueller Spring Tour. He'll be broadcasting Garden Talk Live from Bayfield and Bloom and the Lakeside Pavilion once again and for the final time coming up this Friday, May 29th. We'll get that on the website shortly. Want to thank our team here at the Larry Mueller Show, Claire Nyepert, Jolden Patenaude, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, and of course, Larry Mueller. And thanks to you for listening today. This has been the Larry Mueller Show. Stay with us. We've got lots more in store.